Welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast. I'm your host, Amy, from Amy Natalie Co., spiritual teacher, mindset coach, and speaker. I'm here to remind you how to tap into your feminine frequency to elevate your relationships, attract more money, and feel confident in your body. Each week, I'll be sharing wisdom from guest experts and guided meditations, along with my favorite spiritual mindset techniques, so that you can access abundance, love, and manifest a life that is in alignment with your soul's true desires. Let's do this, sister. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast. I am so grateful to be here with you today. I have one of my favorite humans on the planet who is the guest for this interview. Her name is Rae Ireland. She is a newer friend, a magical being, someone who brings so much joy and light to the world. And her story is incredible. You're about to hear such a really dynamic life experience that Rae has had in her short span on planet Earth. And I'm really excited to share this beautiful being with you. So on today's episode, we are talking all about miracle moments, meeting your edges, and making soulful money. And you're also going to, like I said, get to experience learning through Rae's journey, which is quite the incredible story. And she is in the process of writing her book, which I'm so excited to read when it comes out. Her book is called Blame It on My Soul. And Rae is a business strategist, musician, speaker, creator of the Soul Align podcast and YouTube, and she helps high-level transformational entrepreneurs, coaches, and master healers creatively scale their online impact. She uses energetic transformation and strategic business systems to help her community attract their ideal clients who are ready to buy premium and playful out. And on average, her clients quadruple their monthly revenue, creating more time, money, and location freedom. As an acclaimed global touring musician and speaker for audiences of over 10,000 people, she has inspired thousands of women and men to stand in the spotlight of their dreams and to live out loud. Make sure to check out Rae on all her social media channels, which you will find in the show notes today. And as you're listening to this episode, if you feel inspired to share it, you can take a screenshot of your phone and upload it to social media, to your stories, and go ahead and tag me at Amy Natalie Co. You can use the hashtag Feminine Frequency Podcast. I absolutely love hearing from you. And this is a beautiful way that you can share the feminine frequency vibration and love with others so that they can find out about this podcast as well. Enjoy the episode, and we'll see you on the other side. Hello, Rae. Welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast and welcome to Tulum.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, both in Tulum with you and also on the podcast.
Yeah, this is amazing. So Rae and I have circled each other's orbits many a times. We have a lot of similar connections and friends and have seen each other in various different capacities. And more recently, I would say in the last like 6 months or so, we've started to cultivate a sisterhood and a friendship. And I just always feel so lit up and joyful and inspired when I'm in your presence. And I love everything that you're about. And I know that, like, I shared this on your birthday a few weeks back, but like when we sat down for coffee the first time and connected, and you had just like come back, I think it was from Costa Rica. Were you writing your book, or you were?
I came back from Tulum.
Okay. So you came back from Tulum. Okay. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I like wrote my book, and like, you were telling me about all the whole process. And I know that you're still going through the journey of like birthing a book into the world and talking about your music and your coaching. And I was just like, wow, this woman has so much life in her. And I'm just excited that we get to share that with my community here today. So thanks again for being here.
Oh, absolutely. It is my pleasure. And likewise, like, you're just such a light. You have so much power and like fierceness to you that I just love and like get like fueled by. And there's like this like beautiful, playful component as well. So I'm just excited to continue playing in this sisterhood, business, life, all the things.
All the things. They're all interconnected. Yeah.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. So one of the other things that I really love about your style and about the way that you communicate is your art of storytelling. And you have so many incredible stories that I've heard so far just on your journey as a musician, as a business owner. And I would love for you to start today by sharing you have a pretty big experience that you've had in your life where you had a near-death experience. And I know mm-hmm. that not many people have experienced that. So I'd love for you to share when that was, what happened, and what has transpired since then in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give a little bit of a backstory. Basically, I grew up as a dancer, really focusing on the art of ballet. And so growing up in a ballet studio, I dealt with a lot of body shame and kind of this desire to be this perfect ballerina. So for over 10 years of my like teens and early 20s, I actually dealt with bulimia and eating disorders. This was all very hush hush when it was happening. But as I continued on, I ended up like leaving high school early, really focusing on this career as a professional dancer. And I ended up in New York and in Boston performing, and I wasn't taking care of my body. And I was also kind of, again, like hiding these parts of myself that didn't feel satisfied with who I was, didn't really understand why I was here, dealt with depression. And then all of a sudden I got injured and I fractured both my shins and tore a ligament in my spine. And this all happened in 1 month. And it was like, all of a sudden I went from, you know, auditioning for Broadway and performing professionally into like, I could barely walk. So this was kind of like the first hit where it was kind of the universe being like, hey, like, wake up, we have a message to tell you, like, we want you to like tune in with yourself and do some healing. But I kind of brushed it off at the time. And I ended up finding myself in the world of music, because I had a boyfriend at the time who was a musician. I lived with a bunch of musicians, all like very high level, like incredible artists. And they were like, okay, well, just come on stage with us. We're not even going to plug you in. Like, just come on stage because we know that you'll feel better just by being on stage. So I'm like, okay, whatever, fine, let's do this. And that journey, I ended up finding a lot of deep healing. I didn't really call it healing at the time, but I found a lot of healing in opening my voice, finding how to sing for the first time. I had always expressed myself just through my body. I was never really a talker. And so I finally was starting to find this like freedom of expression, and simultaneously was very much holding on to like the inner rebel heart. So I was like, screw society, we're gonna live out of a car. And we basically performed on the street all around the US for about a year, and then organically built up a band that we ended up performing for 5 years, touring, becoming this like nationally touring act, management, booking, all this stuff. But there was still this underlying problem that I had never dealt with, was this, which was like my depression and anxiety and like the core root behind like the eating disorder and stuff like that, not feeling worthy, not loving myself. So while I was touring and kind of getting swept into this whole other lifestyle of like drugs, sex, and rock and roll, basically, I ended up finding myself in a very, very low, deep depression. And after a gig one night, basically decided, hey, like, I'm kind of done with this and I'm going to take my life. And so I ended up driving my car off of a cliff and rolling it down a canyon. And that is where, and this is kind of what I share, is like, that was my rock bottom, is when the car was rolling and basically I heard this voice. It wasn't, you know, you can call it God, universe, spirit, whatever. But it was a voice that I had never heard before that said, hey, you've been asking to leave and not be here almost your whole life. So like, here's a gift to you. Do you want it? And I like sat with it for like a fraction of a second. Like I remember this so clearly, and it was like bright light, like the full thing of like, okay, am I surrendering into this moment? And I remember just being like, no, I'm not actually ready to leave. I am choosing for the first time that I want to be here. There's something else for me. I want to discover what it is. And within that like fraction of a second, I actually regained my consciousness, and then the car landed straight up. So this was like where I found myself at my most rock bottom. And it felt like a miracle at the time. I was like, I can't believe that I'm actually alive right now. It actually took me, like, I stepped out of the car and I was like slapping myself because I thought I was dreaming. Like it just didn't feel real. But in that moment, it was like this moment of ecstasy. Like I couldn't believe that I had just spoken to God or creator. Like it was not just my voice. And simultaneously, I was like, okay, I'm fucking here for a reason. Like, let's do this. Like, I'm so ready. I was charged. I was excited. I was like so lit up. And then at the same time, here comes life, like just being thrown at me. It was like all the lights of ambulance, cop cars, all of this stuff came crashing in. And I realized, I was like, wow, like I can't hide this anymore. Like this problem that I've been dealing with of just really not wanting to be here is now, everyone's gonna know. Like it's not a secret anymore. So I ended up like having a DUI that night, like, and that was like the least of the worries. But all these different pieces kind of came crashing in. And that's when I really realized, I was like, well, I'm glad to be here, but also, wow, my life is kind of a shit show right now. Like I actually do need help and I need to seek this out. So that's what started this much more personal journey on healing and understanding how to receive support as a feminine leader. I still consider myself a feminine leader at the time. I had already had my yoga teacher certification. I was already doing Reiki, like energy work. And it was kind of like I was living out that life of being a healer for everyone else except for myself. So this was the time where I got to really turn inwards and look and say, okay, what do I need right now? Like, who do I need in my life to help guide me into this new direction? So I traveled all around the world. I ended up leaving my band. I went solo and ended up in many, many different countries all around seeking out support, Eastern, Western practices, shamanism. I just dived fully in. And that's actually how I ended up finding and discovering the coaching industry, because I found my first mentor and worked with her very deeply, Tanya Lynn. I think you probably know Tanya.
Yeah, I do know Tanya. Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of like all history from there, because I just got so inspired by my own healing and transformation when I was able to finally go into some of the traumas that I had experienced and really sit with them and heal them. And I started holding circles for other women, doing women's empowerment work. And from there, basically just year after year, it kind of naturally progressed, and then ended up stepping into the space that I'm in now, which is more business mentoring and really helping women step into both simultaneously, like creating the life of their dreams and also the business of their dreams.
Incredible.
So that's the long kind of story.
I can't wait to read your book, because I know there's more details to every single part of that.
Oh,
and
yes,
like, I want to go fully into it. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious to know, how long ago was that rock bottom moment for you? How many years ago was that?
Yeah, so that was about 6.5 years ago.
Okay. And I just got chills. I'm like, look what you have created since then.
Yeah.
Like how many lives you've impacted, the music that you've made, the business that you're creating, like just phenomenal. Like transformation is real and possible.
It is. And it honestly happened very fast. And I think sometimes we think that transformation can be slow. And it does. It has its moments and its process. But sometimes we have these moments, and I like to call them miracle moments, because in like when I was in it, I definitely wouldn't have called it a miracle moment. I would have been like, my life is falling apart. Like, I just drove my car off a cliff. Like, I'm literally like, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff right now. Like, who am I? What am I? Like, I have like a DUI, I have this, I have that. Like, I was in full breakdown. So at the time, there's no way I would call it a miracle at all. But the miracle moments that are in life, like what ended up happening, even just, it was a year and a half after that accident, I ended up doing this is a whole other story, but I'll do the short version, is like, I ended up going on a spirit quest to India, and no plan, not really much other purpose other than like, let my spirit guide me. And it was within like a week and a half of being there, I ended up performing in front of 10,000 people for International Women's Day and speaking. Like, it was insane. And so looking back, I always felt like that was the miracle. I was like, oh my God, this is a miracle. This is my dream coming true. But as I start to kind of dive into like, what is a miracle? What is a miracle moment? I realized, wait, it's actually the moment that happened before the thing that you thought is the miracle. And it's that moment that changed everything. And sometimes it could be something that is so amazing and you want to share it to the world, but sometimes it's the thing that you actually don't want to share. It's the thing that you feel maybe shameful or guilty around, but it gave you enough grit or enough like energy or fire, because it was maybe so bad that you decided, okay, I actually need to shift. And like, that is the true miracle moment there. So like, in hindsight, I can share this story being like, wow, like this miracle, like I had a near-death experience and I lived. But I want to just really like share that for anyone that's listening, because I know that sometimes when I share this, people are like, well, where is my miracle moment? Like, you might not be seeing the repercussions of your miracle moment quite yet, but your miracle moment may have already happened. And it's really about like the lens and the perspective that you're looking at it with. And so after that happened, I mean, it was very quick, because the healing happens even up till that point. The crap and like going through the gunk and just that like, that phase of like, just what is going on? Like, that is healing in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the most powerful things that we can do on our journeys, or like that I've seen with my clients, myself, with my colleagues, is like that moment where you shift the perspective of why is this happening to me to why is this happening for me? And in the moment, it's really, really hard to do, or it can be really hard to do. And now, after a lot of practice and a lot of seeing like these cycles over and over again in my life, it's like, when I'm in the breakdown, I always know that there's something beautiful on the other side. I always know there's something really expansive. Actually, the more painful the breakdown in my experience, the more painful, the bigger the expansion on the other side. And life is going to have a lot of different cycles of expansion, contraction, breakdown, breakthrough. And one of my favorite authors, and I think I've shared this quote on the podcast before, and share it a million more times in many different ways, but from one of my favorite authors, Rebecca Campbell, this is the paraphrase of this really beautiful poem that she has, but it says, "I pray that you hit rock bottom so that you crack open and let the light shine through." And this is where the magic happens. That's the miracle moment. It's like we as a culture, we don't want people to be in pain, or like as a society, as humans who care about other people, we want to like save people and fix them. And we don't want them to be in the hard places, and we want to find the solutions. But like, that is part of the journey of the soul, those dark nights, the rock bottoms that actually are the catalyst for the light. And I do want to share, like from my experience, I used to have this story when I was a nutritionist. I was like, looking at other people in my industry, and I'm like, well, I just don't have this major story. I didn't have an eating disorder. Like, okay, I had stomach aches and I have like this autoimmune thing, but like, it's not like this major crazy story. And then like, I ended up going through a divorce at the age of 27 and like my life completely transformed. And so I, not that I wished it upon myself, but like, I do want to speak to someone who's listening, if you're like, oh, well, like my story's not valid or my story's not that important, like 100% not true. Like if you have struggled with something and you are in the process of healing and overcoming it, and you are learning how to navigate through it, like you have something to offer and you don't need to have this like wild story in order to be able to make an impact. Like all of our journeys are so different and unique that your story is valid as it is right now.
Yes, absolutely. And I think like sometimes when I'm talking to people as well, because that does come up with even some of my clients, and it's like we all like the level of pain that I experienced during that moment, and then the level of joy that I've experienced at other moments, like they have been at my level 10, but my level 10 is different than other people's level 10s. Like some people can, you know, break their arm and that will be a level 10 pain. And other people can like stub their toe and that's a level 10 pain, you know? So it really does come down to just like owning whatever you're really feeling and where you're at. For you, like, I definitely am aware that I'm like a pretty extreme person. Like, I like to jump out of planes and like do crazy things.
Wait, can we talk about this for a second? A few weeks ago, it was like a month ago. She's like, hey, so I'm going skydiving on Sunday. Would you want to come? And like, while we're talking about it, I'm literally just sitting there like fucking sweating, like so nervous. I'm like, I need to get back to you about this. And like, I didn't end up going. Like, that's definitely something that's like a huge stretch for me. But here I am in Tulum riding a scooter for the first time. And for me, that's edgy. Like, that's like my edge right now. Right. And so I just wanted to share that as an example that like Ray likes to jump out of planes. And like, for some people riding on a scooter in Mexico is also very like an edge, and maybe your edge is different to that.
But, yes. Like, exactly. We all have our own edges, we all have our own level 10s, and they're perfect as they are. And like sometimes, like, you know maybe it's not like the best thing for you to actually jump out of a plane. I had a girlfriend that learned that. She was wanting to do it, and like she was like, okay, like let's try it, but she actually, her soul didn't, like it was too far beyond her level 10, so she lands and then she starts like throwing up, you know, like like sometimes it is too much for someone, and it can like bypass the actual lesson that's there when you are playing on your edge. Mm-hmm. So like your edge is perfect, whatever that is. Your story is perfect.
Yeah. And this reminds me of like, we all have our own soul curriculum too. So like whatever your challenges, your breakdown, your rock bottom is part of your own soul's evolution. And like to compare your soul curriculum to someone else's just like really isn't fair. And like, isn't doing you a service in any capacity. It's actually downplaying like your own soul journey. And like, it's just not honoring what your journey is. So it's not super empowering to do that. So I just want to share that. And, I want you to share really briefly, I know this is kind of a side tangent, but you mentioned to me that jumping out of a plane, like, so we're talking about skydiving here, people. So jumping out of a plane and skydiving has been part of like your lesson in like transforming fear and like playing with fear and understanding fear. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this has been a very recent, like fun way for me to actually play with fear. And like, I think it was actually interesting because I got a different lesson than what I originally intended for this experience of skydiving.
Fancy so, that.
Yeah, fancy that. So I had skydived before with my family years ago. I loved it. It was super fun. I grew up with a very adventurous family. We rock climb, we do mountain biking, like all of the things. So for us to go skydiving, it wasn't like a crazy thing. Like it was pretty normal for anyone that knows my family. So we land and we're all like, okay, that's cool. Like, all right, what's the next adventure sort of thing. And then it wasn't until this last summer, I actually went through a really intense breakup and was just really, I was struggling. And one of my friends, he just picked me up. He told me we're going to go on a hike, and he drove me out to the middle of nowhere where we ended up at a skydive. drop zone. And he's like, let's go jump out of a plane. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, this is exactly what I need. Because I had connected skydiving to the full freedom and release and trust, which it definitely has that component, right? Like you're jumping out of a plane, especially tandem, you're strapped to, you know, someone who's a professional, they're taking care of everything. You just get to jump and basically just let go and trust that you're going to survive the jump and land properly. So I do that. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. I feel great. I land. And then my friend looks at me and, you know, his level 10, like that was a big stretch for him. So he's like, okay, check. Like, I'm glad I did that. I probably will never do that again. But he looks at me and he's like praying. He's like taking deep breaths, like praying, like, you know, just keeping it together. And I'm like, yeah, that was amazing. And he's like, would you actually go and do that again, like right now? And I was like, totally. And I didn't end up jumping right immediately after, but I went home and I actually thought about it. And I was like, I think I want to get certified. And so literally the next day I signed up and began my course to become a certified skydiver, not to necessarily take other people, but just for my own experience. So that way I could skydive by myself. I wanted to feel what it would be like. I'm like, okay, this is an amazing release. Imagine if I'm just doing it myself, like that'll be so cool. And what I learned during this whole process that I've been going through this last 6 months has been, it is actually not about only the release. It's actually about like such precise control and focus, because a second or a fraction of a second in the sky while you're skydiving actually feels like 2 or 3 seconds. So time like gets very warped. And so the idea was, the first time you jump out, you actually kind of black out in the beginning. This is true for everyone because it's just too much for your brain to even comprehend that you're actually jumping out of a plane and you're not like hitting something right away, because we're so used to gravity and being closer to Earth. So the brain kind of blacks out. And then at some point you like regain consciousness. And then it's like usually where you like have your first scream or you're like, wow, this is happening. But there's this moment in between where you don't actually know what happened from the plane to you then like flying through the sky. So each jump that we do in the trainings, it actually widens that, like that perspective. So you see more and more of the jump to the point where then you're jumping out and you're so aware, even while you're jumping out of the plane, you're aware of where are your eyes, what are you looking at? What is the altitude? How long have you been falling? All of this stuff. So I basically ended up learning this really powerful lesson, which is like, you know, life's not really all about just the full release and trust, but it's actually that simultaneous balance of being so deeply in control and trusting yourself in the control, like trusting myself that I would be able to focus enough to have the awareness to put my body in a certain position. So I'm not just fumbling through the sky, but that I'm actually controlling it and actually being able to fly. And eventually my dream is to be able to dance through the sky. There's this whole thing called like freestyle skydiving, where you're literally like dancing and doing gymnastics while like falling to the earth, which is the coolest thing ever. So stay tuned for that in like probably 5 years.
Yeah. So we just keep pushing the adrenaline a little bit further. I love it. Oh my goodness. Well, we can take lessons from your skydiving experience for those of us who aren't quite brave enough or aren't quite there yet. But I so love this lesson and the way that you're integrating it into your personal development journey. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, it was so interesting because I really started to feel like, you know, personal development, it's such an internal journey. And I love it about that. Like you can do personal development, you can do your own healing anywhere in the world. Like all it takes is you being with yourself. And that was a big message that I was sharing for a while, being a traveler. Like I always, especially when I started traveling, I felt like, oh, let me go to a location so I can get this certain healing or do this certain thing. But what I continued to discover was like, I'm always here with myself. And that's really all the healing that I need. Going and seeing a new culture, country, like that's just cherry on top. And what I found with skydiving was like, okay, when when I'm doing all my personal development and all this like internal work, it's actually a way for me to kind of like bring it to the field, like to be like, okay, I've already done this personal stuff. So like, let me test, like, do I actually trust myself? Can I actually be focused on something? Can I actually have an intention and like follow through on that with like how I'm landing the parachute or whatever? So it definitely felt like every single jump is like a beautiful dance and play with the personal development journey that I'm on, and like experiencing what was the lesson that I learned from my business like this last week. Oh, it was about like communication. Okay, how can I communicate more while I'm doing this skydive? So it's just interesting how it can all like weave together. And that goes for anything
like
in life.
Sounds like integration. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you can we can relate it to business or relationships. Like you can do all this inner work, but what happens when you get triggered in a relationship or what happens in your business when challenges come up and then like your faith goes out the door and you drop into that fear again, right? It's like really being in the integrated practice of the inner work that you're doing and embodying it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I would love to talk more about how you went from being a musician in your car, like to then traveling around the world and performing on stages. And I know that you learned a lot through sales and a lot about business and then eventually became a coach. So really, this is your soul journey, your soul calling that you've come to. I know you combine a lot of different things, but for someone who might be like, okay, how do I take my gifts and like turn them into something that I can make money from as a business strategist? I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that I say is like, what do you want to do? Like, I think if you're looking to use your gifts and turn it into something that you can make money from or create a business from, like, make sure that you're focusing on something that you love doing. So I know some people are like, well, let me like try and do this other kind of like random thing. And it's like, well, you can do that and you can be successful at it. But is that actually what you want? And so it's like taking that time to like just really connect with your soul and asking it like, what do you want? What do you want to focus on? What kind of environment do you want to be in? What kind of people do you want to be, you know, talking with, communicating with? What kind of clients do you want to be working with? And really getting clear on your own personal desires first. And then second, you can start to look at the world and be like, okay, what do I feel like the world just needs right now? Like, what is the world craving? Like, if I can do anything, if I was kind of like fairy godmother and stepped into like, or like superwoman stepped into like save the day, what would I want to see change in the world? And when I say world, you know, we all have our own desires in our impact. So world could also mean just like within your family. You know, it could also mean within your tribe. It could mean within your community or your city or your state or your country or literally the world. So whatever your own world is, but what do the people around you, what do you see them needing? And then step three would be like, what is that intersection between what you love to do or give or your desires of like how you want to spend your time? What does the world need? And what is the intersection that you can find that kind of sweet spot that where both can be living? Because I think if you only do what you want to do, at some point you're going to start to feel selfish. You're going to start to feel like, oh, how am I getting back to the world? Like, that's, I think, a natural part of like our human evolution. And especially for anyone that's listening to this podcast, like, I know you have a heart of service. So unfortunately, you can't just do what you want. It won't be enough to feel actually fulfilled. Secondly, if you're just doing whatever the world is wanting, you're going to feel like you've lost a part of your own identity, your own, I think you said like soul curriculum, which I love. Like, what is that like soul path, the soul purpose? So when you find that intersection, you know, it might not be totally clear at the beginning, but what I like to say is just like, pick up one piece at a time. Like, if it's a breadcrumb, just do one piece at a time, and that will take you closer and closer to really finding that like sweet spot. Like, Amy and I were here, like, we didn't just like come up with this yesterday. You know, all the other guests that you have on this, like, it wasn't just like they were like, they woke up, they're like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing. And they're like, now I'm sharing it and everything. So allow it to be a journey to creating the income, to even like starting to bring in money for it, for allowing that money to grow and expand. And your soul will know exactly like how long that will take too. For some people, they move really quick. For others, it is a bit of a slower process. So again, like your soul has its own path. And if you co-create with it and like accept the journey that you're on, you're going to have so much more fun while kind of being in that discovery, and just know that it is possible for you. It just might look different than anyone else, and it should, because it's yours.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that as a starting point, or even as a place for people who already have businesses to really check in and see like, am I really fulfilled in this? Am I like meeting, you know, the world's needs, but not feeling fulfilled? Or am I only focusing on me and not focusing on the world? Like there is always an opportunity to tune back into like, am I fully in alignment with where I want to be in my business? And I know that there's a lot of business owners who are going through really big transformations right now, including myself. I think there's a huge shift that's happening in our industry and in collective consciousness.
Absolutely.
And I know that you also teach about soulful sales and, you know, ways to monetize your business. So there's so much more here, but I really love that as a starting point of something to explore and to check in with, and also to honor your own soul's timing. Not mm-hmm. just feeling like, you know, it needs to take a super long time, but also not feeling like super frustrated with yourself and hard on yourself if it didn't happen overnight.
Absolutely. And I love talking about kind of how it is an intimate relationship. So imagine if you're like getting in bed with someone for the first time, like you don't necessarily want to just like go after it. Like, you know, there's this beautiful like unraveling process. So allow your business to be that as well. Like sometimes if you're looking at it and you're wanting to like figure it out, or even if you have your own business and you're like, okay, this is what it's been, but this is what I want it to be. Like that pressure is just going to create more contraction. So the easier and like the more breath, the more pleasure, the more like relaxation that you bring into your body and also into your mind and how you're like interacting and in relationship to your business or sole purpose, I always find that's when like the beautiful, like deeply aligned ideas come through. And those are usually the ones that stick, and it energetically feels good for you. It will most likely energetically feel good for your clients as well.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being here. I could talk to you all day, and good thing I get to like actually hang out with you in person, and we do get to exploring each other's worlds. And I'm so, so grateful for you being here today. So for people who want to continue learning more from you, where is the best place to find you? I also know that you have a book coming out. It's not out yet, but if you want to share about your book, please do.
Absolutely. So definitely keep in touch, Ray Ireland on Facebook or Instagram. You can also check out my YouTube. I have my own podcast on YouTube and also my own music. So you can find that on Spotify, YouTube, all the things. I do have a book that's going to be coming out later this year. It's called Blame It On My Soul. The best way to keep in touch and be able to pick up your own copy is just through social media. So I will find you there. If you got inspired or have any questions from this conversation with Amy and I, feel free to send me a message. I always love hearing what lands for people, what kind of sparks curiosity. And yeah, Amy, thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for joining me for this episode of the Feminine Frequency Podcast with Ray Ireland. Again, make sure to check out Ray's social media info. You can scroll down in the show notes. And also, if you are not yet part of my private Facebook community, the Empowered Feminine Community, I invite you to join me over there for free. It is an online community where I share resources and trainings and exclusive content for for my inner tribe. So come on over to Facebook. You can find the direct link to the Empowered Feminine community in the show notes as well. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you on the next episode.